We are on our, salvation series, all that stuff. The new creation. I just said salvation series. We have gone quite a distance. What I mean by quite a distance, I mean as regards our introduction to the new creation. It's good that we know who the new creation is in from its origin, or from the Bible's lens, or from the lens of the scriptures. Obviously, we know that when we say from the lens of the scriptures, we mean as much as it is taught through the lens of Christ, or as much as it is according to what Christ depicts to us about the Father, and the lens of through the lens of who Christ is, the person of Jesus. So everything we see in the synoptic Gospels and in how Jesus explained the scriptures, that is the Old Testament, we use that to explain and exegete the scriptures. As believers, we there are two ways people read the Bible. One way is called the fundamental way. The fundamental way is how people is where people read the Bible literally. That is, they read the Bible as it is. So whatever the Bible says is whatever they establish as doctrine. Okay, even though that doesn't really, it's not exactly sustainable to some different degrees, to different degrees. So I kind of oftentimes see that as not sustainable doctrinally. Also, the second style is the exegetical method of interpreting the Bible. And the exegetical method is a method that we find that the Bible instructs us to apply. The word exegesis. Exegesis, it comes that word ex is a word that means to draw out from something, okay, to draw out. So exegesis. So 2 Timothy 2:15 will say, be eager to show yourself approved, a right man, a workman does n not needing to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth. That word rightly dividing the word of the truth means to explain the scriptures. In Luke 24, the Bible says Jesus Christ expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning him. That word expounded means to explain, and now says the things concerning him. So there's a particular way to draw out meaning or interpretation from the scriptures. Scriptures are not meant to be quoted or just read literally. They're meant to be explained, interpreted through the lens of salvation in Christ. 2 Timothy 3:15 will say, from a child you have known, as Paul speaking to his mentee called Timothy, a pastor, a young pastor, as at then, or let's say a younger pastor. It says, and from a child you have, that word child is infancy, you have known a whole, you have known the Holy Scriptures, referring to the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, that's Genesis to Malachi. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. All right, that word wise is sophizo, unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So it tells Timothy that you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. That's understand salvation. And that says all scripture is profitable for doctrine, for evidence. That's that word reproof, because in the King James uses the word for reproof. Well, actually, the word reproof there in the Greek means evidence. So it's profitable for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness. In righteousness, okay, it says, so that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly equipped unto every good work, right? So we know that the scriptures are meant to be used to explain salvation, so that the man of God will be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. So how would a man correctly read the scriptures to be thoroughly equipped unto every good work? Is to read it through the lens of salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So everything we see from Genesis to Malachi ought to teach us salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Not that everything written is salvation through faith in Christ. No, but that when explained, when we glean all the dots, when we bring everything together, the end of it is to teach us salvation through faith in Christ. That would imply, that would mean that there are certain things that would have to bow down to salvation through faith in Christ. So if there's anything that does not look like salvation, number one, we take we it's supposed to, is meant to be in submission to salvation through faith. So we only use the words of salvation, and also through faith, not through works, human value, human works, whether outer looks or morality or whatever, but actually through faith. So if it's faith, or the expression of human will towards the reception of God's provision, as we're going to see today, if it's as long as it is not that, he would have to submit to that, which is salvation through faith, the expression of man's will towards receiving God's provision in the gospel of Christ, right? That Jesus would die for their sins and redeem them from bondage of sin. Now, in our series Evangelism, we are talking a lot about this, the concept of deliverance from sin and all that stuff. So it's going to help you. So as I was saying, everything bows to that interpretation. So the scriptures are meant to be interpreted. It says through faith in Christ, so that the man of God be thoroughly equipped. So when it says in Ephesians 4 that he gave gifts unto men, Ephesians 4 verse 11, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastoring, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, so that they will not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. It says for the work of the ministry, that perfection will be found in men teaching you the gospel. So if someone is not teaching you the things of the gospel, the realities of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and is teaching you politics, money making, how to be a success in your business, all that stuff, no, he's not teaching you something that will make you thorough as a man of God that is perfect for ministry. So you are not well groomed up. You are not well taught. Hallelujah. But we know that in this place we are well taught. Hallelujah. Not just in this place, but if you decide as a believer, if we decide as believers to do what the scriptures instructs us to, we will be the man of God that God has ordained that we should be. You know, the first thing after salvation is to know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, eternal life is actually means to know Jesus. It doesn't mean to just live, have an elongated life. You know, eternal life, God didn't even promise us an elongated life. Actually, eternal life in the scriptures actually refers to us knowing who God is. That is what eternal life really means. Now, does it mean that we would not live eternally? No. But essentially, eternal life means to know God. John 17 verse 3 will say, this is eternal life, that they might know the true God. That is Jesus Christ. All right? So that's eternal life. 1 Timothy 2 verse 4 says, God who will have all men to be saved, that's verse 4, and then to come to the knowledge of the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hope that helps a little bit. So now, we'll just establish one or two things here. We trust God that today's I'm doing something. I'm not recording on the Zoom platform. I'm doing it on another, on a separate recording device. Okay, so hopefully it works perfectly for us. All right, we don't have to have those network hitches here and there. All right, so let's go quickly into it. Now we're going to establish that how that rejecting God and all that stuff is. No, was not literal. Now, if you are acquainted with Intro to the Bible series, this would be handful for you. It would be to be able to establish you even more needs. We want to get into some specific explanations today. Things like what was Adam's sin, who was Lucifer, all that stuff. Want to get into some details, some specifics in the book of Genesis. Now we know the book of Genesis is not a complicated book when we explain it in the light of Christ. We know that Genesis is not a story of creation. We know Genesis is an account. Oh, this is actually, I don't need to do all of that, do I? This is actually fine, right? Genesis is an account that explains salvation, the salvation plan of God from the beginning. We know that, all right? So it should not be something difficult to understand. Okay, so when it says in the beginning God created, now we said the word beginning is the word what? Bereshith. We've said that over and over again. We said that the Greek word for beginning is the word arche. Arche is spelled A-R-C-H-E. Arche, we find that it's the word beginning. We know beginning means dominion, right? It means strength. Remember, it means dominion. It means strength. All right. I'm talking based on Intro to the Bible series, oh. So if you missed that one, you missed it, oh. May you not miss heaven also. Amen. But you might go. You should go back to that series. I encourage you to do that. I'll actually advise you to do that. Okay. So means dominion. Remember the word John 1:1. The beginning was the in the beginning. RK was the word. That is at the dominion. At the first was the word. That's logos. So the beginning was Christ. All right. Look at Revelation 1:8. So the beginning was Christ, and in Christ God created the heavens. Not before Revelation 1:8. Look at Colossians 1:15. Colossians. Hallelujah. Look at it. It says, verse 16. Right? Okay, verse 15. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, right? So Christ is the word proto. We saw that word prototokos, the first, the beginning, right? That's another word that's used in the Old Testament for beginning, where it says, you are my strength, my firstborn, right? So firstborn of every creature. So Christ is the first, is the beginning of every other beginning, or beginning of every other creature. We'll find out why I said what I just said. So it says, for by him were all things created, heaven and earth, and visible and invisible. So we understand all of this, that Christ is the first before all things. Amen. So is the beginning. In the beginning God created. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. What are the heavens and the earth? The invisible and the visible. That is, as it concerns God's plan of having men in their own image, in his own image. Genesis 1 verse 26 will say, let us make man in our own image. We established that that when it says, let us make man in our image, it does not mean that God wanted to make men with the ability to have self-will, to lead, to all that stuff. No. To have limbs and to be able to stand and all that stuff. No, that's not what it means, because animals do have that. So God was not saying, God didn't create Adam, as a new creation. Adam was not in the image of God. You know, the image of God is called the likeness of God. It will mean that Adam would be like God, right? Or Adam would be as he is. Now, in 1 John 4, verse 17, referring to believers, those who have the Spirit of God in them, he says, for as he is, says, that might have the boldness in the day of judgment, says, for as he is, so are we in this world. Now, that's a new creation reality, not a not something that existed before Christ died and resurrected. Now, before Christ died and resurrected, there was no one who was in the likeness and image of God. Alright, it's only the new creation that has that attribute. That's why Adam could have not been the image of God. That's why no one that is an unbeliever is an image of God. Today, as we often say, we are all made in the image of God. To be made in the image of God means you are a new creation. Do you see that now? So as he is, so are we in this world. I'll say that again. 1 John 4:17 says, as he is, so are we in this world. So that means Genesis 1 verse 26 is fulfilled, right? I'll make man our own image after my likeness, so that as I am, so they would be. So it's a new creation reality to be in the image of God. It is not something that all men in the world are created. No, if every man is in the image of God, it means that every man has the Spirit of God in them. So we can actually say that Genesis 1 verse 26 was referring to the new creation. Okay, so Adam was not created in the image of God. Neither is any man today created in the image of God. Only those who are in Christ. We've seen that the image of God is Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, Hebrews 1 verse 3. Which other scripture? It talks about Christ. Colossians 1 15, where we just read. Okay, so it talks about Christ being the image. So let's make man in Christ, would be the promise of God from the beginning. And we see that the beginning is who? Christ. So we can say that Genesis is Moses talking about Christ and the new creation, or God's plan for salvation. He's not talking about the creation of stars, moon, and all that stuff. He's simply using that to explain salvation. Okay, so Christ is, we can read Genesis, look at Genesis 1 verse 1 quickly. It says, in the beginning, that's what Barashith or Arche in the Greek, in the beginning God created, right, the heavens and the earth. Okay, so we can actually say, in the beginning, or at first, was the plan of God for salvation in Christ. You can say that. Look at John 1 verse 1. John chapter 1 verse 1. I'm saying that. So Christ would be the beginning of God. Christ is the beginning of God. The beginning of God is to save. The beginning of God is Christ, the anointed one, the anointed seed who would fall to the ground and produce after his own kind. Once again, if you want to understand what I'm saying, you have to go to our teaching on the intro to the Bible. Please do that. We just are in part 2 now. We are still having much more to teach that. I'm looking for the book of John. We still have a long way to go in that particular series. Although that series is headed towards somewhere else. If you observe what we are doing, seems like most of our teachings are from the same angle, from similar angles, is for emphasis. All right? Now, look at John 1:1. In the beginning time is going. In the beginning was the Word. So the Word there refers to Christ. So Christ is who? The beginning. Look at Revelation 1 verse 8. I need to do something tonight. Revelation 1 verse 8. It says, well, no need to rush, right? We are still going to continue if we don't finish today. Amen. Revelation 1 verse 8. I am the Alpha. That word Alpha is the word Alpha. It's the first Greek, it's the first letter of the Greek alphabet, okay? And the Omega, that's the end. I am the beginning. So Christ is who? That beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. So in Christ, God created the heavens and the earth. So we can say that God used the lens of salvation to create the whole earth. So God, the whole earth is created in such a way that it will fit into God's plan of salvation. So a man is created to benefit from salvation. A man, a natural man, which is of the earth, 1 Corinthians 15, which is of the earth, is created in such a way that his purpose is to be saved. Hallelujah. So his purpose is to, someone say, but I thought God saved us because we fell. No, God saved us because we did not have his spirit. God saved us because he created us. Okay, now in our evangelism teaching, I get into all of this in detail. But you see, God saved us means God gave us his spirit. What did he save us from? From our sins. What was our sins? The scriptures lets us know that our sins was simply the natural life. The natural man that does not understand who God is. That's why eternal life, as we started today, we said eternal life was to know who God is. Okay, now, I am the beginning, Revelation 1 verse 8, the beginning and what the end, says the Lord. Look at Revelation 3 verse 14. Revelation 3 verse 14. Look at it, says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write these things, says the Amen, the faithfulness, the beginning of the creation of God. You see that? The beginning of the creation of God. Now, that word beginning is the word arche, like I said, is used for things that are the inception of things. All right, now, look at of other things, of the same, like what I mean beginning. Like, if I say the beginning of technology was found in the mobile devices. So technology's beginning was in the mobile. The beginning of technology was in mobile devices or airplanes. That's an example. All right. Now look at Ephesians 1. Quickly, Ephesians 1 and verse 17. Okay. All right. It says, verse 18. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what's the hope of his calling, what's the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and what's the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which was in Christ when he raised from the dead and set him at his right hand. Now look at verse 21. It says, far above all principality. The word principality there is the word that means beginning. It's the same word arche. Alright? Is that word beginning or the first. So Christ, alright, the power that God used to raise Christ from the dead and set him at his own right is far above every other beginning. So Christ is the beginning before all beginnings. Right? So Genesis is an account of what? The beginning of all creation in Christ. So let us make man in our own image is to give men the same image of God. What is that image of God? His likeness. His likeness of what? A likeness of authority. So God creates the earth and gives man the ability to give order to the earth. But man cannot give order to the earth without them being in the image of God. For God is the one who puts all things in order. So that's why Hebrews 2 verse 9 will say, we do not see that authority yet, but we see it in Christ. We see it in Christ. Hallelujah. So we can only see that authority in Christ. Amen. Hope I'm not confusing anybody. Hallelujah. You're not confused. Now, so God says, let's make man in our image. So that means we can say, we can actually, instead of saying, let's make man in our image, we can actually substitute the word for saying, I want to put my spirit in men. I want to put my spirit in men. Okay, instead of saying, let's make man in our image, I can say, I want my spirit to be in men. Or, I want men to have my indwelling presence. Alright, so that's correct. Okay, from the entirety of scripture. So, what does God do? Man is presented with that opportunity and man falls. We've seen that Adam did not eat a fruit in the Garden of Eden. Because Jesus in Mark 7:15, look at it, Mark 7:15. I said I was going to establish that today. Mark 7:15, just do that in case you're hearing this for the first time. Mark 7:15, quickly. It says, It says, okay, Mark 7:15. Jesus speaking. It says, there's nothing from without a man, that is nothing physical that a man takes into his body from his mouth. It says, that enters a man that can defile him. But the things which come out of him and those things that defile him. So what Jesus was saying, that Adam could have not eaten something physical and it got into his heart. He says it cannot defile him. If he ate any fruit, it would have not defiled him. That's what Jesus said. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, that can defile a man. All right? You said you ate something and then boom, that's why you have taken your destiny. There's nothing. He said you drank something and then something happened to your life. That's when you started doing all of this, all that stuff. Jesus says it can never defile you, something from without. All right, that just nullifies all that blood drinking blood covenant and destroying your, give your life to the devil. You understand? Okay, look at it. It says in verse 16, it says, sorry, where was I? Yeah, it says, okay, look at verse 18. Verse 17. It says, and when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning parable. He says, And he says unto them, are you also without understanding? Don't you understand that whatsoever thing that enters a man cannot defile him? Don't you understand what I just said? If you wash your body, it doesn't cleanse your heart. Is that not logical enough? Does the water get into your heart? Or, you know, you bathe in water. You say, oh, God is washing me now. You pour, let's not go into some things. Hallelujah. You pour oil on your head and you say, it's gone. Oh God, let this thing that touches me now, let it get into my heart and change me, Lord. As I drink this water, it's going to change me. God says, Jesus says, it cannot affect your heart. But look at what Jesus says. He says, because it does not enter into his heart, verse 19, but into his what? Belly. So if you eat something, it enters your stomach. If you like drink anointing oil, a gallon of anointing oil, it goes to your stomach. Hallelujah. And goes into the droughts. Okay? Now, if you are one of those who believe in anointing oil, there's nothing wrong. It's all right. But we'll get into all those teachings later. As scriptures, we'll just examine them from scriptures and all that. So if you practice that, it's fine. It says, and go out and goes into the jar that's in the toilet. All right. And he said, that which comes out from a man, that defiles the man from within, out of the heart of men proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So we can say that Adam's sin was something that he regarded in his heart. Revelations 12 verse 9. Quickly. Revelations 12 and verse 9. It refers to what, now we know from Genesis, we know that, okay, we'll get into that. Look at Revelations 12 verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil, the Satan, and Satan which deceived the whole world and was cast to the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. Now, I just want you to put that in your mind concerning Satan. Satan is the one who deceived man. So what happened in the Garden of Eden? Man was presented with the tree of life, who is Christ, or life eternal, or the knowledge of the koinonia between man and God, which Hebrews says, knowing the Lord. That's the word, sexual intercourse, to know him inwardly, to know who God truly is, every aspect of him, every aspect of God. That was the plan of God. But see, Satan deceives man and makes man to now reject that offer. Well, how does Satan says to man, he says, for you would be like God, knowing good and evil. So in man now trusting in his own understanding, which is another shade of what is called atheism or selfishness, that man wants to be the God of his life, being able to decide what is good and evil, that's what it means. That is the eating of the tree, or eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All right, now if you want to get a clear understanding on that, please go to Intro to the Bible series. Okay, that said, so God's plan was what? I want men to be my image. But you see, the first man sinned, so that's the first sin of man. All right, or that is the sin. What is man's sin? Rejection of God, absence of God. A man that chooses to just be natural. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to hit a lot of things tonight. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse 48. No, verse 47. All right? It says, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So it says that the first man is the earthy man. All right? Okay? So the first man is what? Earthy. So Adam was a what? A natural man. Same as every other person that does not have the Spirit of God. He's natural. So the sin of man is to remain natural. Hallelujah. You see, we said in our evangelism series that a natural man is an unrefined product. He has not fulfilled the purpose for which he's created, which is to worship God, which is to have a koinonia relationship with God, where the Spirit of God dwells in him. So the sin of man was to remain natural. So when Christ died for our sins, we saw that in Genesis, the plan of God was not to die. The plan of God was not to die so that, you know, God would punish Jesus Christ, and, you know, God was meant to punish us, and then he now punished Jesus, then punished Jesus Christ. You know, we saw that the reason Jesus Christ died was to produce after his own kind, like every other thing that God created. The seed would fall down and he would produce man, that are men that are like him. All right? So the reason Christ died was for our sin. What is our sin? For our naturalness, for remaining in darkness. For remaining in darkness, in the darkness of our own mindsets, that is destitute of God's wisdom. All right? So God, man, living himself to himself is a sin. That is the sin of man, to be natural. A natural man is sensual. That's the word, you know, in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, I believe, or 14. It says the natural man, that word natural means sensual. When you see believers who are sensual, it means they have not understood God. They're just saying, look at everything that's happening in the earth. You're so sensual. You say, I just felt the presence of God in that guitar. You know, that guitar, it just gave me goosebumps. That sensuality. You know, those things is good to feel, but beyond that, there has to be understanding. There has to be knowing, a knowledge, revelation, all right, of God's presence. You know, I don't want to say some things, so it won't look like I'm against them, okay? I don't say some things. You see, anything that wants to glorify the senses, just like some of us who are believers, it looks as though we glorify natural things above the spiritual things. It's as though we qualify our spiritual success by our material possession. That is sensuality. You think a man is a man of God because of how much money he has, or his you know, influence and all that. I don't want to go into all that. Let's think what we're doing. All right, praise God. So that was a sin of man, to remain natural. So God did not want man to be natural. Amen. So what does God do? I want my spirit to be in men. So we're going to go through some scriptures and see the same promise of God throughout the earth. So God wants the whole earth to know him. That was the plan of God when he said, let us make man in our own image, was for man to be in Christ. That is for man to have eternal life. That is for man to know God. John 17:3, once again, this is eternal life, that they may know the true God. That is Jesus Christ. So the eternal life is to know Jesus Christ. That is what God wanted from the beginning. All right, now let's go. Let's see how God promises man over and over again. The whole earth. He keeps saying, all men. Okay, good. Look at Genesis 26:4. Genesis 26:4. Look at it. It says, this is to Isaac. It says, I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. Remember, this is from Genesis 1, where it says, be fruitful and multiply the whole earth. So it says, as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto your seed and all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Look at Genesis 22, verse 17. We've read this before, but I just want us to look at it again for the sake of emphasis. Genesis 22, verse 17. Look, it says that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thee as the seed of the stars of heaven, all right, and as the sand which is upon the shore, on the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. All right, the whole earth again. Genesis 15:5. Genesis 15:5. It says, and he brought him from abroad and said, look now toward heaven, that's Abraham, right? And tell the stars, if you shall be able to number them. And he says, so shall thy seed be. Now, Galatians lets us know that that seed was referring to Christ, all right? I remember the scriptures tells us that Christ, who is the seed, would die and reproduce after his own kind. Genesis 1 verse 6. And every seed shall produce after his own kind. Okay, look at Mark chapter 4 verse 6. Mark chapter 4 verse 6. Mark 4 verse 26. This is Jesus speaking of the seed. Look at it. It says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast a seed to where? To the ground. See that? He's speaking of himself. And he should sleep and rise night and day. And the seed should spring up and grow, and he knoweth not how. For the earth brings forth fruit for herself. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. You see? So it says the seed will do what? Will fall down first to the ground. That's Christ. Right? And it says, so is the kingdom of God. Look at verse 26. So is what? The kingdom of God. The word kingdom of God is the word basilia. Basilia means, so is the reign, the dominion of God. Dominion. Remember Genesis 1 says, let them have dominion over the earth. So it will be found in Christ. Hope that's making sense now. Look at Jeremiah 31:31. We'll read 31 to let's see who's here. All right, excellent. 31 to 40. It's a long read though. It says, behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with the fathers in the day when I took them by the hand out of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was an husbandman unto them, says the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. Now, when it says Israel, is a spiritual word that means the whole earth. All right? Okay. So, it says, after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their inward parts. You see, inward parts refers to what? Their hearts. So Adam's, the right thing for Adam to do was to be in the heart. It was not to go and eat something else. It was to be in the heart. All right, let's read on. So that will refer to the Spirit of God. That's God's law in our hearts. It's referring to the Spirit of God. It says, I'll write in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. It says, and they shall teach no man to know, they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. You see that word? No. It keeps talking about men knowing God. So man being the image of God is man knowing who God is. Are you there? It says, from the least to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity. What's their iniquity? To remain in that earthy state, the state where is they reject God's provision, God's Spirit, the Spirit that will help them exercise dominion, order on earth. Hallelujah. See, when we see a believer living a defeated life, it is not God's plan. When we begin to glorify God for negative circumstances, what I mean is this. I'm not saying, because the scripture says in everything give thanks. It didn't say for everything. What that means is you should always be thankful to God as a believer. Right? But when you see us saying, oh, God knows why he took that person, the person died, God knows why I have this sickness in my body. I remember someone saying, God, I know you're testing me with this sickness. I know, God, you know why. And then I remember the person I was telling this story said he prayed for the person, said, God, I want you to multiply this sickness so the person can learn more lessons. They say, God forbid, how can you pray this kind of prayer? I said, but you said God is testing you. You know, when a believer lives a life that was not ordained from God, he's living against the will of God. He's not living in God's power. in God's dominion. Jesus said you should have dominion over everything that he created. Jesus is the beginning of all beginnings, as we said earlier, right? He wants us to be over every principality, that is over every beginning. Every principality is called every power, and every power is called every might. That's what energio. Everything, including angels. No, principalities and powers are not like different creatures that exist, though. One looks like a cow, one looks like a hen, or one looks like snake. That's what we say. One is angel, one is principality powers. No, they're all the same thing. All right, it's referring to all the creation of God. Now, we're just going to what we're saying here. So, you know, it says, where we're reading, they shall know me from the least to the greatest. So, what God wants us to do, what? To know him. That's why Ephesians 1 will say that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the Lord. Jesus also said that. Jesus also said that in where we just read Mark 4, verse 26 to 28, that when the seed falls down, it's meant to grow, spiritual growth, to know the Lord. That is the plan of God. That was the plan. So spiritual growth is in the plan of God. Amen. So verse 35, thus says the Lord, which gives the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon and the stars and the stars for light by night, which divided the sea when the waves thereof roll. The Lord of hosts is his name. Look at this, verse 36. If those ordinances depart before me, look at this. This is God swearing. If those ordinances depart from me, that is, if my covenant fails, look what he says, say the Lord, then the seed of Israel, that's Christ, shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. That means the work he has in Christ will cease forever. It says, if I fail in my covenant, every other thing will fail. Every other thing will fail. That's why salvation is eternal. Is eternal. Look at it. Look at it. Let's just go on. Look at 37. Thus says the Lord, if the heaven above can be measured and the foundation of the earth can be searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. It says, the only thing that will make me disconnect from you, my people, is if you can measure the heavens and the earth. If you can measure it, if you can measure my plan for you, then you can. I give you the ability to not be. I give you the ability to be on your own. I will leave you. I will disconnect from you. That's the only grounds on which you can lose salvation, or lose the Spirit of God, or lose the image of God. Look at verse 38. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Haniel unto the great gate of the corner, and the measuring shall go yet over against it upon the hill Gareb, and shall compass about Goth. Verse 40 and the last. It says, and the whole valley of the dead bodies, and of all, and of the ashes, and of the fields, unto the brook of Kidron, and unto the corner of the horse gates toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up, nor thrown down any more forever. You see that? We remain in Christ. That's why Jesus Christ says, no man shall be able to pluck them out from me. They are mine forever. It causes an everlasting covenant. So once you are in the image of God, means you are in dominion. You can't fall. It's not like Adam was in dominion before he fell. He was a natural man that didn't have the Spirit of God who fell. What is his fall? To reject salvation or reject the Spirit of God. And Paul says it passed down upon men. Not that every man became a sinner automatically, as we often teach. You know, we often teach that, that because Adam sinned, everybody was born a sinner. That's not true. The scriptures don't teach that, okay? Everyone is not born a sinner. What that scripture was saying is that it was passed. That means not everybody who had it. Not that it came upon everyone. The same way as Jesus Christ resurrected, everyone did not automatically become sons of God. Right? But it was a choice that people made, rejecting the salvation. That's why the promise kept passing on. God kept appealing to men's hearts. Look at the book of Ezekiel. Oh, time will not let us. I'm just trying to be as quick as possible. Habakkuk, sorry, not Ezekiel yet. Habakkuk 2 verse 14. Habakkuk 2 verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with what? The knowledge of the glory of the Lord. You see, the whole earth, as the waters cover the sea. So what has been God's promise from the beginning? that men would know him. The whole earth would, that is eternal life. Oh. Eternal life doesn't mean to live forever. Someone say everybody will live forever. Unbelievers will go to hell and burn forever. Believers will stay in heaven and live forever and be praising God and singing hallelujah or hosanna. You know, we don't sing hosanna as believers. Hosanna is not a term that believers sing. Hosanna is a word that means let salvation come or let the Savior come. So now Christ has come and fulfilled scriptures. So we don't sing hosanna. So we can't be singing it in heaven. Someone say, so when we say unbelievers will be burning forever in hell, and believers will, that means they have eternal life. Eternal life is in hellfire now. What life keeps them in hell? They are dead. The Bible says they would be destroyed forever. All right? When we are going into the book of Revelation, we're going to explain all this concept of death, hell, lake of fire, outer darkness, hellfire, all that stuff that we have often used for Antichrist and all this Nollywood and Hollywood and all that stuff left behind. You know, pastor was preaching and then boom, everybody disappeared, left their clothes on the, or some we see their sand on the floor. Glory to God. You know, the scriptures actually tell us how we're going to be resurrected. Let me just say it quickly here. The rapture is not us as ascending like elevator to the sky, because that's not where heaven is. Okay? Heaven is in Christ. The rapture, what the scripture actually refers to as the rapture, I think this is a leap in our series, oh, because it's something we're going to go into later on in the new creation series. You know, in this new creation series, we're going to be debunking a lot of funny things, funny beliefs, and all those things. So the rapture is like, you know, as we said, let us make man in our image, right? What would be the image? Christ, right? Now, Christ is called the seed, and the Bible says the seed will fall to the ground and produce after his own kind. So that means everything we see in Christ will be found in us, right? Now, the difference between Christ and every other man, or the difference between the man in Christ and every other man, is that although every man will die like a seed, right, the only those who have eternal life will be raised again. All right, we'll be raised again as Christ was raised. You know, the scripture says it is, as we just read 1 Corinthians 15 verse 40 thereabout, it says it is sown a natural body and raised a spiritual body. So actually, when we die, that is, I'm talking about what we call the resurrection, we'll be raised as Jesus was raised from the dead. How Jesus looked is how we're going to look. Jesus is called the prototokos, the prototype of every other believer. As the seed is, so shall other seeds be. You know, the seed will produce other seeds or produce the fruit. Okay? So, as Jesus was raised from the dead, so would also be raised from the dead. Do you understand? So, Christ gave us a pattern of how every one of us would be. So, the rapture is actually a revelation of the church in the spiritual body. The Bible says it will happen in the twinkle of an eye. All right? So we're going to get into all of that stuff later on. Okay, so let's stop thinking about changing to white clothes and garments and all that stuff that the book of Revelation renders in metaphorical terms. Look at Joel 2 verse 28. Our time is... Joel. Anyways, Joel 2 verse 28. Joel, what am I doing? Joel 2 verse 28 says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So you can see the prophets keep talking about the spirit, they will prophesy. That's the dominion. They prophesy. Men will be able to hear from God, see from God. That's dominion. You know, get direction from God. So man's sin was to get direction from himself rather than from God. So the gifts of the spirit are actually the dominion we have now. Amen. Ezekiel 26 verse 28 says, I'll give you a new heart and all that stuff. So, still talking about the Spirit of God. So, can we say that God promised man salvation from the beginning? Can we say that? From what we've established so far? We can say that, right? We can say that. I believe that. Good. All right, now, I like responses. God bless you. We can say that God plan promised man. So we can also say that God preached, or let's just say God promised man the gospel. You know, the gospel of Christ is the salvation of man from sin, right? So we can say that God promised man the gospel. So when he says in Romans 1, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." What is that? What is it? Look at Romans 1. Look at Romans 1. Romans. Sadly, we are not going to get into the other things we are supposed to get to. We might not be able to get into that. Where's the book of Romans again? Did it? First, Old Testament, New Testament. Romans 1. Look at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. When he says gospel of God, his audience will be thinking of which scripture? The Old Testament. So it says, which he had promised by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So it means God preached the gospel in the Old Testament, Genesis. It says concerning his son, Jesus. So what is Genesis about? Jesus Christ. It says, which he made the seed of David according to the flesh, declared the Son of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection. You see that? Look at verse 16. So he now says, for I'm not ashamed of what? That message of Christ from the beginning. For it is God's power to save. God never promised to kill any man. God promised to save. All right? So everyone, and we know what salvation means, right? To have the spirit of God in you. Simple. To everyone that believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Now, it now says, for therein is the righteousness of God. The word righteousness does not mean sinlessness. The word righteousness means the right thing that God should have done. What was the right thing of God? What was the right thing that God should have done for man after being created? That man should know him through his spirit in them. For therein is the righteousness of God. That those things that God said in the Old Testament is now revealed in the gospel through Christ Jesus, through the resurrection. So the resurrection is the explanation of all the things in the, all the promises in the Old Testament. The resurrection. Now, it now says, for the wrath of God. Many people think that the wrath of God refers to how God kills people. No. The wrath of God is a term used in scripture. It's not man's wrath. Remember the scripture says the wrath of man does not produce God's righteousness. And righteousness includes wrath. So, the wrath of God and is God's wrath. Just like the blood of Jesus is blood, is God's own blood, not our own. When Jesus Christ says, it's my flesh, it's his flesh. He's not referring to physical flesh. Your flesh is your physical flesh, but God's flesh is his own flesh. So God will define his own terms by himself. So the wrath of God is not man's wrath. Don't be thinking of an active, punitive, punishment. All right? So the wrath of God, as we're saying, wrath of God simply means how God hates man in the destitute state. So when the consequences of man's independence from God, sin in destruction, confusion, and how man goes about establishing things with demons and not God, that resulted in killings, false teachings, even some false prophecies, false promises, false ordinances. Those consequences are called the wrath of God. That's what the wrath of God is. Where God is not found, it's called the wrath of God. The wrath of God is seen in sin. That is the man without the knowledge of Christ. That is the wrath of God. Death, sickness is the wrath of God. So when you see sickness on someone, you can call it the wrath of God. It doesn't mean God brought the sickness on them. Right? That's why Jesus Christ healed people that had the wrath. So the nature of man without Christ is called wrath. Ephesians 2 will say, we were by nature children of wrath. Alright? Okay? So, I said, it made men to begin to make up myths about God and misinterpret God about things. It happens till date. An example of that was this so-called thing called generational curse. Generational curse. In Ezekiel 18, God asked them and said, what do you guys mean by this nonsense proverb? That a man eats sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. What does that mean? Never say that again. That's Ezekiel 18. That's where that was said by prophets of God, but it's because they were natural men. Okay, so the right thing for God to do was to justify or identify men, all right, by his spirit. The new man will have a spirit, and the unbeliever is destitute of life. That is why he will die. That's why he will be destroyed. A man without the knowledge of God will define God wrongly, will define the earth wrongly. All right? Hallelujah. There's some things I want to get into, but I'm just going to pause it for the next teaching. Now, we're going to end with this, because we'll extend that to our next meeting on Friday. Genesis 3. Look at Genesis 3. One established, just to further give it proof and evidence of who the serpent was. Sorry. Right? Of who the serpent was. Okay? Genesis 3 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." Many think that is referring to a serpent, a literal serpent. Now, the word serpent there, the word serpent, is the word, I don't want to miss it at all. I do not want to miss it. Is the word Nakash. Nakash. Nakash is spelled N-A-C-H-A-S-H. All right, that's Nakash. Now, Nakash is the word serpent. Okay, now when you say serpent, it doesn't refer to a snake necessarily. In that Hebrew text, or you know, literature, Nakash is used for three things: a snake, a divine being, and a shining one. A snake, a divine being, and a shining one. Now, that word divine being was also it was also used for an enchanter, someone that enchants, enchantment. Look at Leviticus 19:26 as we close. Leviticus 19 verse 26. Leviticus 19 and verse 26. Look at three scriptures here, and then we round up for today. Leviticus 19 and verse 26. All right, it says, "You shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantment to observe times." That's the word Nakash. That's for serpent or enchanter or enchantment. We see that in Deuteronomy 18 verse 10. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 10. It says, "There shall not be found among any of you anyone that makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, that uses divination or observer of times or an enchanter," or what? A witch. Someone that bewitches, deceives, is like hallucination, or you know, gets the person into a form of, what's that word? You know, this thing where someone is enchanted. I'm trying to remember that word. Hypnosis, right? Yeah, that's what I was trying to remember. Okay, so we have all that in Second Kings 17 verse 17, Second Kings 21 verse 6. 2 Chronicles 33 and verse 6. So that just means enchanter. Also used for divine beings in 2 Kings 8 verse 4, Daniel 8 verse 6. All right, now we're going to, because we don't have the time again, we have to close now. We're going to establish who Satan was, where he fell, all that stuff. Because people have this notion that Satan, God created the heavens, and then Satan was singing, and then boom, 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 one thing happened, cast him into the earth. And then he then creates man later on, and then Satan, who was cast to the earth, begins to deceive man. And then they're also confused whether it was a talking snake. But we've established today that it's not a talking snake. We saw in Revelation 12 verse 9, the serpent referred to the devil, Satan. Okay, we'll look into that next week and also move into other things we're going to move into. Remember, we're in the new creation. We want to talk about why the believer should act the way he should act as he is in Christ. It's not a religious term. It's not simply a command. You know, when you misunderstand this, you see it as something to abide by, but you don't know it's your nature. You don't know it's something that only you can only do. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have the image of God today because Christ lives in us. We have the image of God today because Christ lives in us. Hallelujah. We have the image of God inside of us. So we are in Christ. That promise which God made from the beginning in Genesis is now fulfilled in Christ by his resurrection. And obviously, as we have received Christ, we have received the Spirit. The book of Galatians says, is that Spirit of God that is in us, crying, Abba, Father. Romans 8 says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it's the Spirit of God that we have received. We have received God's Spirit inside of us. 1 Corinthians 2 will say, but the Spirit of God has revealed the things, all things to us, of the Father, obviously. All things to us, the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is the witness inside of us that helps us to know who God is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed today? So we are new creation. Someone say, I'm a new man in Christ. I have the Spirit of God in me. I live eternally. I will never die. Say, God will never leave me. I'm his son today. I'm his son tomorrow. And I'm his son forever. Hallelujah. Because it's an everlasting covenant. Woo! Glory! I'll see you again next week. Have a good evening. I'll see you again for prayers. Those of us are going to pray. We're going to pray very soon. See you again for prayers. Have a good evening. Good night. I love you guys, and I'm always praying for you. God bless you. Good night.